This is the Fearless Presentations Podcast, the fastest, easiest way to reduce public speaking fear.
Want to absolutely eliminate public speaking fear? This podcast is the answer. Here's the guy who literally wrote the book on fearless presentations, Doug Stannert.
Hey, welcome back to the Fearless Presentations Podcast, everybody. Hey, we have some really cool kind of things to cover on this particular session. One of the things we get asked about a lot in designing presentations is, how do you add humor? How do you get more funny? You know, how do you become more funny as a speaker? Because there is a lot of value in the entertainment part of the presentation. And we also have a new tech find. We haven't done a tech find in a few weeks, so I wanted to kind of jump back in. In fact, the tech find that we have this week, I think you're going to absolutely love, especially if you happen to be like me and you're kind of cheap and you want to continue to grow as a public speaker, then you know this tech find can be really helpful. So let's get started with this week's podcast.
Tech Find, high-tech gadgets to make your presentations better.
Hey, so this week's Tech Find is it's an app on the iPhone. It's called, I may mispronounce it, but I'm calling it ORAI. It's ORAI, and you can type it in. It's a speech coach on the app, which is really, really cool. I got to tell you, I've seen a number of different types of apps. This is one that's really, really well developed and can really help us a lot. Now, it's not perfect, but if you're wanting to improve public speaking and you want to do something very quick and over a long period of time, this is a great, great app to kind of use. So basically, here's what it is. I'll give you kind of the background that I found out about this. It was created by these two guys that were from India, and English was either their second or third language. So when they got to the United States, it was very difficult for them to kind of communicate. So they started joining a Toastmasters club. And the neat thing that they liked about Toastmasters was that it was a continued effort to improve their public speaking over a long period of time. And so they wanted to do something with an app to really help. And that's really what they've created. They've created an app that you can use by yourself. You don't actually have to go in front of a group of people or anything. And it makes it where it will give you some good coaching. So I basically downloaded this for the first time this morning and gave it a shot. And my first speech was basically just like an elevator pitch that it asked me to do, an elevator speech. And I did it in, you know, maybe 90 seconds or so. And this is some of the coaching that it gave me. So basically, here I am, a professional speaker, and I'm getting some coaching here as well, which is kind of cool. The very first thing that said was that in the entire 90 seconds, I gave two filler words, which is really good, by the way. It says almost perfect. Nothing a few more practice sessions can fix, which is kind of neat. And it actually gives some coaching right there. It says take a few seconds and pause before you think you're going to drop an and say something like, let's begin to talk about, or I also believe, which is pretty good coaching. As far as the pace goes, it told me that my average words per minute were 207, right? And it says that's way too fast. Well, those of you who have listened to my podcast over any period of time kind of know that's one of the things that I do. But just so you guys know, speaking quickly is not necessarily a bad thing. Now, it can be if the people in your audience are have English as their second language and that kind of thing, that's where I'll really kind of slow down my delivery and that kind of thing. But in reality, if you're speaking fast, it adds a lot of energy and it adds a lot of enthusiasm to your presentation. So when you do slow down, it does take away some of that natural energy. Just so you know, the brain can process as fast as 1,000 words a minute, and we speak at about 200. So that's one of the reasons. In fact, it was kind of funny. I had a young lady that was in my Fearless Presentations class in Philadelphia a couple of weeks ago, and she mentioned that she was listening to my podcast, and she said that you can actually speed up a podcast to make it go like 1.5 the normal rate of speech, so it speeds it up so you can go through podcasts much faster. And she said, yeah, and I do that with your podcast, Doug. And I was like, you do that with mine? My gosh, man. Wow. So if you can understand me, if I'm going 1.5 times as fast, it's pretty good. But anyway, back to the app though. The app basically says it's too fast. Try to calm yourself down before you start speaking. The aim is to distill your thoughts, not spill them. So ground yourself and proceed mindfully. Try adding 1 or 2 second pauses in between your sentences. This will dramatically improve listeners' comprehension and help you reach your words per minute goal. So that's really, really good coaching for an app. They've added artificial intelligence into this app to kind of make it to where as you speak more often, it kind of learns your patterns and it gives you additional coaching that will help you personally. So, and then finally, the last thing that it scored me on was my energy. And it said, brilliantly said, Doug. Looks like you'll be hosting a TED Talk in no time. Your energy is the ideal level, which is kind of cool. So anyway, so it's a really good app. Like I said, the app is spelled, it's O-R-A-I, and you can find it on the iTunes. You can find it on your podcast apps on your iPhone, and I'm assuming it's on Android as well. So really good app. Hopefully you get some good value out of that.
So, Doug, what's today's hot topic?
So the hot topic today is how to add humor to your presentation. So we titled this, so I want to be funny, you know, how to add humor to your speech without being a clown, because that's really one of the most important things is that you want to be able to add humor, add something funny to your presentation, but you still want to be seen as being professional. You still want to be seen as being the expert in the room. You know, quite often when we're designing speeches and presentations for, especially for a professional audience, we really discount the value of entertainment and humor. And in reality, though, a good presentation is both informative and entertaining. You really have to have both of those. Your speech has to be, basically, it's got to give information and it's also got to have some entertainment value. So if you're not providing the audience with the information that they didn't already know, then basically you're just wasting their time. And if you aren't providing them some type of entertainment along the way, you're likely to bore the audience. So they're not going to be engaged. They're going to lose interest much more quickly. So adding an appropriate amount of humor to your speech can be very, very valuable and can really keep your audience engaged throughout your presentation. Now, one of the things that we get asked about a lot as public speaking coaches is, should I tell jokes to my audience? And I'll give you kind of a little bit of history about how I've kind of come to grips with this myself. When I first started speaking, I had a mentor who had been a speaker and a speaking coach for probably about 3 decades. And she worked for the Dale Carnegie Organization, which by the way, Dale Carnegie is a phenomenal public speaking training company. And for some reason, they've kind of distanced themselves from it. They think of themselves as being kind of leadership, but they really are very helpful to people who want to overcome public speaking fear and become better at speaking in front of a group. So anyway, so my mentor worked for the Dale Carnegie Organization. And one of the first things that she kind of taught me as I started to become more confident speaking is she said that you should never, ever tell a joke in your speech, Doug. And I took what she said because she'd never really lied to me. You know, she knew she always told me the truth. So I took what she said as fact. But over the years, I've kind of changed my tune on that quite a bit. In fact, when I first started teaching public speaking myself, because that's what I had been taught, I was encouraging people to kind of avoid jokes as well. And it was basically the first big client that I had when I started my own company, when I started the Leaders Institute, was the Freightliner dealerships in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And the general manager of the Fort Worth Freightliner dealership was a guy named Ron. Ron was hilarious. In fact, he had created a culture around his organization for being the guy who new corny jokes. And he basically told these corny jokes over and over and over again. It wasn't that bad. He had a corny joke for everything. He was basically an encyclopedia of kind of corny jokes. And so he basically would just start every meeting with a corny joke and get, and people would both, you know, kind of laugh, and then they'd also kind of cringe a little bit because most of them were pretty corny, but they were always, you know, clean jokes, you know, they were always something that was, you know, kind of sedate. So it didn't offend, they never offended anybody, and it became part of what he did. And I kind of saw him master that. He created that culture of having fun around the office just by him kind of doing that. So it was a purposeful kind of thing. Now, just so you know, I don't really encourage people to do that. I mean, it really worked for Ron, and he was kind of a master at it. But I think situations like that is probably what caused that coach that I had to go to the extreme and say, you know, never ever tell a joke, because there are a lot of different negative things that can occur with kind of telling a joke. Number one is that jokes require timing. You have to be able to deliver them very well. So if you don't practice the joke enough, if you don't really work on your timing, if you don't pause at the right time, then they can kind of backfire on you a little bit. And so my guess is that this coach that I had probably seen people attempt to put a joke into their presentation and then have it bomb so often that she finally kind of went to the extreme and said, yeah, just don't ever do it. The other thing that could have happened that would cause, you know, somebody to kind of go to that extreme is that, you know, perhaps, you know, that somebody was telling the off color joke, you know, so, and it was offensive to audiences. And so as a result, you know, they go to that extreme of saying, yeah, no jokes ever again, that kind of thing, just to kind of make it to where his or her classes are, you know, kind of G-rated, that kind of thing. Or perhaps, you know, maybe sometimes it's just that public speaking coaches will dissuade people from telling jokes just because that timing that we talked about before is just really hard to teach. And so it's one of those things that you kind of really have to practice and work on. However, you know, one of the things that I kind of figured out, even when I was working with this public speaking coach very early on in my career, one of the things that she told me was that, hey, you know, never tell a joke, but a funny anecdote or a funny story is fine. Also, and that's what kind of really didn't sit right with me especially as I became a speaking coach myself, and as I started training people for years and years, and now the better part of 3 decades myself, kind of coaching people in public speaking, I've kind of realized that a joke is basically just a story. In fact, if you go and you look up, you know, dictionary.com on the web, and you type in the word joke, it basically, the definition is a thing that someone says to cause amusement or laughter, especially a story with a funny punchline. So it's one of those things that I think that a lot of times when public speaking coaches are telling you to not tell jokes, I think they're trying to keep you from doing that off color stuff and that kind of thing. But, you know, a funny story is a joke. A funny anecdote is a joke. And in fact, if you look at just about any paid motivational speaker, there's a good chance that he or she is going to use at least one, and usually probably about a half dozen or more jokes in their presentation somewhere, because that humor is important when you're trying to get points across to your audience. So, and in fact, that's the first thing we really want to focus on in this particular podcast, is that when you're using humor, you want to make your point with humor. And that's one of the key things. When you're, like, for instance, so one of the most important things that you want to keep in mind when you're designing your presentations is that a good way to insert humor is to actually make your point with humor. So unlike Ron, who I talked about before, who was kind of using the joke as the intro and kind of using that as a way to kind of get people laughing before he said anything, humor actually works better if you use it as a way to reinforce the points that you're making in your presentation. So, like, if you haven't listened to podcast 3, it's called How to Design Presentations Quickly. That gives you some really good tips on how to kind of create your bullet points, how to create the main content of your presentation. And once you have that specific content, you can actually find ways to insert humor as a way to reinforce that content. So here, these are a few things that I've kind of used in the past that you might get some value out of it. The first thing that I tend to do is that once I come up with that good bullet point, I'll kind of read that bullet point to myself and I'll kind of say, okay, have I ever had an experience on this subject where I really screwed it up? And that's one of the fastest, easiest ways to add humor to your presentation is to kind of insert some type of self-deprecating humor. So if you're giving a bullet point or a main content point in your presentation, if you've ever violated that point yourself and it backfired on you, then tell that story. Use that as an example, because that's a great way to add humor, and it's easy because all you have to really do is just play the video in your head of what happened in that incident, and usually you'll get a few laughs. If you really want to make sure that you get a big laugh, then kind of exaggerate the example that you're using. So, in fact, here let me give you an example. When I get new instructors working for the Leaders Institute, I always kind of give them an orientation where I kind of teach them a little bit about, you know, some of the nuts and bolts of how to do our forms and make sure they get paid properly and that kind of thing. And one of the most important parts for an instructor, because we're traveling all over the place, is to make sure that we do our travel properly, because that's, you know, if we're charging travel to a client, we want to make sure we're getting the client the absolute best value. And so some of the tips that we give them are, you know, you want to make your flight and hotel reservations a couple weeks in advance and different things like that to make it to where it's most cost effective for our clients when we're charging travel on their account. So to reinforce that, a lot of times what I'll do is I'll tell a quick story about how I really screwed that up sometime. And by the way, I've got dozens of different situations where, because I've forgotten, I've kind of screwed something up. One that happened recently, though, was that we have an instructor that was training with me from Portland, and she and I were going to be traveling into Los Angeles to teach a public speaking class together. And so when I found out that the two of us were going to be teaching the class together, I sent her an email real quick just saying, hey, by the way, make sure I make your flight arrangements right away so that you get the best value. And I said, I'll go ahead and make the hotel reservations for us because, you know, I'm like a high level kind of traveler. So I get all the bonuses and stuff like that. So if I make the hotel reservations, then, you know, we get all the you know, concierge lounges and all that kind of stuff, which is really cool. I mean, that's a nice little bonus to have. So, and then because I'm also at that high level, I'm not like a diamond level on Hilton, I didn't actually make the hotel reservation right away because being a diamond, I can actually make a hotel reservation within 24 hours of leaving to go to a place and still get a hotel room. So it's not as critical as it is to get the flight early. And so I told her that I would make the hotel reservations and then promptly forgot, right? And of course, like 2 or 3 days before we're going to fly out, she sends me an email saying, hey, can you send me the confirmation number for the room that we have in LA? And I was like, and I'm looking it up. I'm like, oh my gosh, crap, I forgot to do that. So I'm hustling. I'm on my app, on my Hilton app, trying to make the hotel reservation. And the hotel that we typically stay at when we're teaching for the class in Los Angeles is like right across the street. It's a nice Hilton, and it's in the downtown area. It's right across the street. So basically we can fly into LAX or actually any of the airports there in LA, take a cab or an Uber to the hotel and never have to leave. Basically, we can do everything right there. And that's really the most convenient. Well, I get on the Hilton app and I do like I normally do. And I start to book my hotel. And just like I knew I could do, even though it was only a couple days away, I was able to get a hotel room. And then I tried to make the second reservation, though. And one of the things about being a high level kind of person is that they'll give you one room, but they're not going to give you a second room if the hotel is sold out. So I had to actually cancel the first room that I had just booked minutes ago and then look for a different hotel that was somewhere fairly close. And I was able to find one, by the way. I was able to find a hotel that was maybe 3/4 of a mile away. And so it wasn't really that bad. It was still within walking distance, but that's a pretty good jaunt. 3/4 of a mile is a pretty good jaunt when you're in a business suit and you have bags that you're dragging behind you and stuff like that. So anyway, so Stephanie and I get into the LAX. We take our cab to the hotel. We've got two rooms at this hotel that's about 3/4 mile away. We decide to get up fairly early the next morning so that we can kind of make the jaunt. And downtown Los Angeles is really, really hilly. So basically, I'm dragging my two bags, you know, with my projector and everything up and down these big hills. Stephanie's got high heels on, so she's not very comfortable. And we made it about halfway before we finally broke down and got an Uber to take us the rest of the way in. And, you know, I had to give the guy a big tip because it was only, quarter of a mile or something like that, or 3/4 or whatever it was. A very short period, very short distance anyway. So I had to give the guy a really big tip and everything. When it was all said and done, we did that like 3 or 4 times over that couple of days. And it added the value of the hotel. It cost me about, I'd say maybe $75, maybe $100 more per night for the hotel, for two hotel rooms. So basically we're looking at about a $400 swing because I didn't make the hotel reservation soon enough. And with all the extra travel or the ground transportation with Uber and cabs and stuff like that, I bet I spent another $120 over that 4 days just going back and forth that less than 3/4 mile. So basically, you know, you can learn a lot by making your hotel reservations and your travel arrangements early. You'll be able to save quite a bit of money. So the neat thing about that is that you can, when you're poking fun at yourself about how you screwed something up, it adds a little bit of levity. It makes the presentation lighter. And you don't necessarily have to have people laughing. You know, it doesn't have to be a belly laugh or anything like that, but kind of a humorous story where people can agree that you're an idiot. It really makes it to where it's more fun for the audience to kind of listen to you. So add those self-deprecating humor type stories in there. Another tip that you can do that can help you add humor to any one of these bullet points is all you really have to do is Google the word joke followed by whatever the idea is that you're covering in your story. You know, so basically you type it, like for instance, let's say like one of the bullet points that I made recently in a presentation was that you want your training to be a good return on investment. And the best way to do that is to plan it out, have a good goal, you know, make sure that you are, that you're measuring the results of the training. If you're doing those things, you'll ensure that you get a much higher return on investment. So if I'm making that bullet point to my audience, then all I have to really do is just type in the word joke and return on investment into Google, and you'll get some funny stuff. So basically, I did this right before I started the podcast. I did this just to kind of see what it would come up with. And these were the things that I found, just like I said, that showed up first page of Google. One of the funny jokes or whatever was, it says, do you know how to make $1 million in the stock market? And the answer is start with 2 million, right? So, which is kind of humorous, right? So it's a little one-liner, which is kind of funny, and it's easy to deliver, so you don't have to remember a whole lot. So that works really well. Another one that came up was a quick little story. It says, mother had decided to trim her household budget wherever possible. So instead of having a dress dry cleaned, she washed it by hand. And of course, proud of her savings, she boasted to my father, just think, Fred, we are $5 richer now because I washed this dress by hand. Good, my dad said quickly, wash it again. So basically you can tell these kind of little funny anecdotes or kind of humor stories. Another one is a long-term investment is a short-term investment that failed. You know, so basically those little quick kind of wits of wisdom and those kind of things can kind of work. And basically you can take any one of those, and just with a little bit of creativity, you can tie that into the point that we're making. So like, for instance, in the example I was mentioning before, I could start with my explanation with the phrase, you know, a lot of people see investing in or attending a training session like playing the stock market. You know, if you don't have a clear goal for the training, if you don't have a clear plan to achieve that goal, and if you don't have a way to measure your progress, you're going to kind of lose money. By the way, you know, a foolproof way to make $1 million in the stock market? Start with 2 million. So basically, unless you're setting a goal, making a plan, and measuring your training results, you're going to have a similar result in your training program as what most people have in the stock market. So basically, I can kind of use that as a comparison, just a quick little way to add some humor. And like I said, each one of these things in and of themselves don't have to be kind of belly laughs or belly rolls. They just have to make it to where people are kind of grinning a little bit and nodding at you up and down so that you can tell that they're enjoying the presentation that you're doing. One of the more creative ways to add humor into your presentation for bullet points anyway, is to use like a funny analogy. So analogies, if you remember back from literature class when you're in junior high school or high school, an analogy is just a comparison of something that people are really familiar with something that people are unfamiliar with. So basically, if you're trying to make a bullet point, you can analogize that piece of content that you're trying to get across to the audience with something that they know really, really well. A funny one happened in class just about a week and a half ago. I was teaching a class in Philadelphia, and there was a young lady that was in the class who worked for she was a computer technician, and she worked for an electric company in the Philadelphia area. So basically what they do is they go out and sell electricity to companies. That's basically what their main goal is, to find companies that use a lot of electricity and they can save them some money. So their ideal client is a high electricity use type of company. So she made the analogy how this new computer software, the CRM that they're using, scores the clients or potential clients that are in their database, so that the sales reps are calling on just the people that are a good match to the services that they provide. And she compared it to, she basically said that a good match would be like, you know, in the real world would be like peanut butter and jelly. You know, most people think of peanut butter and jelly as something that really goes together, whereas a bad match might be ketchup and salad. You know, so I mean, ketchup and salad don't really go together. And so by making that weird kind of comparison, she would then talk about different potential clients that her sales reps would use. You know, like for instance, if it's a small manufacturing plant that doesn't have access to, you know, some of the bigger electric companies, then they're going to use a lot of electricity. We can save them money. So that's a good peanut butter and jelly comparison right there. That's a good peanut butter and jelly client, is kind of what she said. Whereas, for instance, if it's a small retail operation, maybe in a strip mall or something like that, they're not going to use a lot of electricity. So the savings that we would give them would be kind of negligible. So that would be more like a lettuce and ketchup kind of client for us. It sounds weird, but when you see that in a delivery, when the timing is really down, every time the way that she kind of made this funny was that she kept using that same comparison, this absurd comparison, salad and ketchup, which is really absurd. She used that over and over again, and every time she did, she got a little bit louder laugh, right? So the first time people kind of snickered, and then the second time it got a little louder, and then the third time people were kind of really into it. So a lot of it, this type of humor really has something to do with your delivery, and you really want to practice this stuff before you actually do it in front of a group, but you can pull it off really well if you kind of practice it a little bit. So now the final thing, in addition to, you know, kind of making your bullet points that you're covering humorous, one of the other ways that you can add some humor is with a colloquialism. That's easy for me to say, colloquialism. Basically, that's like if you remember back to Mark Twain, you know, Huck Finn and Tom Sawyer, that kind of thing. That's where a lot of these, that's where we kind of learn about these in junior high school and high school, that kind of thing. But being from Texas, this is one of my favorite ways to kind of insert humor, especially when I'm doing keynote speeches. Keynote speeches, you have to insert that humor in a way to where you get a really good, solid laugh very quickly, and you can make your point. And sometimes these kind of things can work really well. A good example of people that use this technique effectively, or a person that uses this technique effectively anyway, is Dr. Phil. You know, the guy from the Oprah Winfrey Show, and he created his own TV show, Dr. Phil. You know, so this is he's a psychologist, but he's from Texas, and he uses these Texas colloquialisms just very, very effectively. These funny kind of Texas sayings, you know, to where the best ones are the ones that after the person says them, there's kind of a pause before it kind of clicks. And then when it clicks, it's really funny. And those are the ones that kind of work. And by the way, these are easy to find. You can pretty much just type into Google, just like we did with a joke, just type in whatever state or region that you're in, and then the word colloquialism, which is kind of hard to spell, but Google will help you out with that too. If you type that into Google, you'll kind of get a list. So I did it just for Texas, just for the purposes of the podcast here. And I typed in Texas colloquialism, and I got a list of Texas sayings. And my favorite one that popped up, now, so most of them weren't that appropriate. They weren't things that I would be able to use a lot in my presentations. However, one of them that came up at the top that was kind of funny was the colloquialism where it says, he's all hat and no cattle, right? So he's all hat and no cattle, which is something that you can kind of insert into a presentation. If I'm teaching somebody a bullet point, or if I'm covering something to where something is exaggerated or something is not true, you know, basically or something like that, I could use that as a funny way to kind of insert some humor into that particular part. So I tried it again, by the way, after I did the Texas colloquialisms. I got one. I just typed in the word Southern, because that usually works pretty well, and the Southern ones are always pretty funny too. But the one that came up, that well, there's a couple of them that came up that were pretty funny. One of them was, that's a hard dog to keep on the porch. So basically it's kind of like, you could use that anywhere. You can say, he let the cat out of the bag or something like that. You can kind of replace that with, that's a hard dog to keep on the porch. And then another one that was kind of funny is, man, he's happier than a tick on a fat dog, you know? So basically you could kind of insert these things. These take a lot more practice than the ones that you're doing for your bullet points, because they have a propensity to backfire. So you want to be really careful about using these things. But if it happens to be, you know, if you happen to be from the South, especially if you happen to be from Texas, or, you know, I'm sure if you did the same thing with Boston, the thick Boston accent, or the New York, you know, the New York accent, that kind of thing. If you have one of those as part of your delivery style, if you have a natural accent from where you grew up, then you can actually use these as a way to kind of add some humor to your presentation and make it a little bit fun. Now, the key thing to keep in mind about adding humor to your presentation is, you want to make your presentations fun. You want to make it kind of entertaining for your audience. If we're just giving them data, if we're just giving them information and we're not making entertaining for the audience, then they're really going to tune out. And so the humor is a good way to kind of get people back into your presentation, even if it's only for a short period of time. So use humor in your presentations very effectively, and you're going to make your audience really, really love you. Just so you know, this presentation, this podcast is brought to you by the 2-Day Fearless Presentations classes. If you happen to be in one of the cities where we're teaching a class, and we teach these classes in about 40 different cities around the world, or pretty much every major city in the United States, and also in Canada. We also do quite a few of these in Europe. It's real easy. All you have to do is just go to fearlesspresentations.com, and actually on any page on the Fearless Presentation site, you'll see a list of, in the margin on the off the side, the sidebar, you'll see a list of the next, I think it's like 8 to 10 classes that we're going to do, that we're going to be doing in order. And if none of those work for you, click on the class schedule and it'll give you a list of every class that we're doing up until the end of next year. So we always schedule these about a year out. So it'll be really easy to kind of find one of these presentation classes that you can sit in on. And these work really, really well, by the way. So if you haven't yet attended one of our 2-day public speaking classes, I would encourage you to do so, because it's a great way to take some of this stuff that we're covering in the podcast and make it really applicable to the type of presentation that you're doing on a day-to-day basis. And it makes it a whole lot easier for you. So we look forward to having you on the next Fearless Presentations podcast. And we also look forward to having you in the next 2-day Fearless Presentations class.
Subscribe to this podcast for new public speaking secrets each week.